Welcome back. We are up to Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav, Chapter 6, Mishnah 6 of Maseches Shavuos. So we know that Midoraisa, according to Torah law, obviously there is an obligation to separate Trumos and Maestros from produce that grow in the land of Israel, but the Chachamim, the sages, tell us that there are some lands where there is a Derabanan, there is a rabbinic command to separate Trumos and Maestros. The reason seemingly why is because these lands are close enough that perhaps there's some confusion. There is overlap, whatever it might be. So therefore, in countries like Bavel and Mitzrayim, Egypt, and other countries, so one is obligated to take Trumas Maestros Midir Abanan. So this is what the Mishnah is talking about now. Ein Mevi'im Truma Mechutz La'aretz La'aretz. A person is not allowed to import Truma from outside of Israel into the land of Israel. So meaning, you separate your Trumas Maestros from your produce in Bavel, Midir Abanan, so you cannot go ahead and bring that Truma into the land of Israel. So you say, why not? The answer is striking. The Mepharshim explain, because if this would happen, then Kohanim might go ahead and leave the land of Israel to go get Truma. So you say, okay, great. What's the problem with that? Let's say you have a Truma shortage. They want to go eat the Truma in Bavel. What's the big deal? So seemingly, the Mepharshim explain that no, there is a general prohibition that is not as commonly spoken about to leave the land of Israel. One is not really allowed to leave the land of Israel. And so therefore, the one who does this is violates some kind of a prohibition. And therefore, we don't want to encourage people to leave. So if someone imports Truma from outside the land, then someone's going to say, hi, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pick up Truma from outside the land. And so therefore, we don't allow such a thing. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Shamati beferish shemivin mi Surya. But he says, Rabbi Shimon, that we can go ahead and bring Truma in from into Israel from Surya. This is typical of Rabbi Shimon, who says that Surya is part of the land of Israel. Vein mivin michus la'aretz. But we can't bring Truma into Israel from any other part, from any other land. That's the end of Perek Vav. Now onto Perek Zayin, chapter 7, Mishnah Aleph. So we know that Shemitah is, you're obligated to put the Shemitah produce through a biur process, through some sort of a destructive process. What is this process and what's it all about? So without going into the Mishnah, we'll explain it outside and then we'll see what the Mishnah is about. But basically there is an idea that once there is no longer any produce that is available in the field for the wild animals to go ahead and eat, then I'm obligated to take the Shemitah produce out of my house and just make sure that it's all gone. I don't have any of it. I shouldn't be using it anymore. That's called biur. And so therefore, says the Mishnah, Klal Gadol Amru B'Shvius. The Chachamim said that there's a general rule when it comes to Shemitah. What is it? Kol Shehu Ma'achal Adamu Ma'achal Behema Umi Min Hatzovim. Any produce that fits into one of the three categories, that it's food for people, food for animals, or it's some type of a produce that you use to create dyes for dyeing, the various fabrics and the like. The Einu Miskayim Ba'aretz, and furthermore, it doesn't last in the ground, meaning if you leave it in the ground for too long, it's going to rot. Yeshlo shvius ludamav shvius. So this produce that we listed, that fits into these categories, has kedushas shvius, and not just that, but if it's sold, then the money that you receive for this produce has kedushas shvius, has shmita sanctity, and therefore yeshlo biur ludamav biur. So therefore, you would be obligated to deal with this appropriately in terms of the halachos of biur, and you would be obligated to deal with the money that you might receive for this Shemitah according to the requirements of Biur. And then says the Mishnah, okay, fine, that's nice, but what are some examples of these things? And so the Mishnah explains, Ve'ezeh, so what type of produce fits into these categories? So Zeh Aleh Haluf Hashote, first category, when we spoke about human food that doesn't last in the ground, this is what we're referring to as leaf of the wild luf. What in the world does that mean? Well, we know we've spoken about luf before, it's some sort of a bean or an onion, whatever. And so the leaf that would grow as a part of, with the luf, would be very bitter, and evidently the Mepharshim explained that it could be sweetened, so it was edible, and so therefore this can't stay in the ground too long, and so it would be subject to this halacha. Va'ale ha-dandana, and the leaf of a mint, ha-ulshin v'ha-kreshin, endives and leeks, would fit into this category as well. V'haragila, and purslane, which is some sort of an herb. V'neitz hachalav, and what's called a milky blossom, another type of a plant. And so even though these things may not be eaten so often, explains the Mefarshim, nonetheless, they are eaten often enough to be considered human food, and so they have shmikta, they have kedusha shvias. And now, umachal behema hachochem v'hadardarim. So what's some examples of animal food that doesn't last in the ground? So this is like thorns and thistles. Umimin hatzovim safiche isatis v'kotza. And in terms of some examples of things that we might use to make dyes that don't last in the ground. So these are things what we would call the aftergrowth of an isatis plant. What in the world is an isatis plant? I don't really know. It's some sort of a plant they used to use to make blue dye and safflower. Again, I always talk about how these English translations for these things are less meaningful than the Hebrew translations. But whatever it is, all these different plants. If you're a botanist, hopefully this was helpful. And all of these products, at the end of the day, they're going to have kedusha shvius, and the money that's received for them will have kedusha shvius as well, shmita sanctity, and yishlehem bior v'ledmehen bior, and therefore they're going to be subject to the requirements of bior, and the money received for them is going to be subject to the requirement of bior as well. That brings us to the end of Mishnah Aleph in Perek Zion. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Beis. Have a wonderful day.